This is 88.5. I'm Leah Fleming. As you look back over the Black history education that you received in your childhood, you definitely heard about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his movement of nonviolent protest. You heard about the relentless oppression suffered by Black people who had to turn the other cheek. But I bet you didn't hear much about people who hid guns on the countryside in case they had to shoot back, literally. Joining us to talk about the history of Black people and guns is Akinyele Umoja, who is a professor who chairs the African American Studies Department at Georgia State University. He's also the author of the book, We Will Shoot Back, Armed Resistance in the Mississippi Freedom Movement. He is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with the historical perspective. Reconstruction to the 1920s. Black people were not, of course, allowed to have guns, but we begin to see Black people arm themselves later on.
Well, even during the Reconstruction period, because you got to consider that during the period of slavery, it was illegal in most of the state, all states really, for Black people to have guns. Some slave owners might allow a loyal slave to, you know, carry a gun, sometimes really just to go against the other enslaved people.
The idea behind Black folks not having guns was really to keep them in line, wasn't it?
Right. Mm. To keep us in line, keep us subordinates, keep us in a way we couldn't defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about Reconstruction and what ends Reconstruction in the United States, and for listeners who might not know what Reconstruction is, it's that period of time after the Civil War where the Union is trying, the states are trying to come back together as one whole. And during that period of time, the federal government was trying to figure out ways to keep the former Confederates from just coming right back in power. So one of the things was give Black people a vote. And then to defend that, they gave Black people ability to form militias and things of that nature. So many Southern states, it was the militias that protected the ability of the country to be back reunited again.
So in order to really suppress Black folks from getting all of the rights that they were entitled to, that was one way to do it, which was to suppress gun ownership
So there's that struggle that that goes in during that particular time, which is really a part of the civil rights, if you will. But even here in the city of Atlanta, there were Black militias that were formed. Mm-hmm. And so there were actually battles right on Piedmont Park between white mobs and Black militias during that particular time, try to keep Black people from having celebrations of their citizenship and things of that nature.
So there are Black people like Medgar Evers who, in history, who have talked about standing their ground. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about last year when we saw a Black man in Alabama who was a veteran, and he was shot and killed by the police during a Black Friday mall shooting. Mm-hmm. And he was legally armed and, according to reports, trying to help the police.
Right.
But instead, they shot back and killed him, initially calling him the suspect, and then they had to go back and recant that. And also last year, I spoke with Philip Smith. He's the president of the National African American Gun Association, which is based here in Atlanta.
Right.
And I asked him if the Second Amendment is applied to Black Americans equally to white Americans, and here's what he said.
I think on paper, it is being applied, but in reality, it is not. Mm. When a African American is carrying a gun, is walking down the street, like I've done before, and someone looks over and says, hey, he's got a gun, there's a different dynamic. A social narrative is automatically spun in a negative way, typically.
So there is history to substantiate his thoughts.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, just keep in mind, the same group that in the United States we think is associated with gun advocacy, the National Rifle Association, they were silent when the Black Panther Party was being, there was legislation set up in California to disarm the Black Panther Party. They were silent when there were groups in the South like the Deacons for Defense. You know, Black people with guns in American society has always been considered a threat, which is why one of the reasons that nonviolence was even promoted in the movement, because it was a thought you couldn't get support from Northern liberals and with Black people being armed. And so the image was this movement is nonviolent. I think in my book, there's a turn in that when people feel like the nonviolent movement sometimes was compromised by Northern liberals and the cavalry didn't come.
So in sharing this history, what do you hope to accomplish?
Many young people, I used to hear them say, I couldn't go along with the nonviolent movement. And on one hand, nonviolence played a tremendous role in resisting and fighting for black rights. But it wasn't even at that time for everybody. And there were a variety of different expressions of resistance against segregation and white supremacy during that time. I wanted to show the complete picture. Sometimes I think we have a stereotype view of the movement and we have a stereotype view of black Southerners.
Georgia State University professor Akinyele Umoja is the author of the book, We Will Shoot Back, Armed Resistance in the Mississippi Freedom Movement. This is 88.5.